This to your list.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 88. And oh, I like the way that sounds.
88.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I am Fumi, joined by Mark J. Parker and Tom Chuba.
Indeed.
What's up, everybody? Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. What are we doing this week? How are we feeling? What's going on?
Thank God. Well, at least Tom and I had Monday off. Sorry, Foom, but I needed a long weekend.
Right.
Oh my God.
But now
thank
I need
you.
A long weekend from the long weekend. So
yeah. I know. I hear that, Tom.
Oh, that is hilarious, right? You need a vacation from vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's because you like whether you want to or not, the days just pack up. And they fill out with everything, and then you're like, damn, I wanted to, like, relax at some point.
Totally.
So mm-hmm.
And it's always when it's a longer weekend that it goes by so fast. Like, I felt like yesterday I blinked and Sunday was over, and I was just like,
exactly,
where the hell?
I know. I was visiting my parents right outside of Philly, and so we went to the Cherry Hill Mall.
I love Cherry Hill Mall.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Went there because I needed some new clothes, and, like, oh, my God, guys, somehow the day went from, like, 10 to like 4. And I was like, fuck, yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Such is life.
Mm-hmm.
Such is life. We've got a good show. It's all about love is in the air.
Ooh, V-Day.
Yeah, you know. So we're talking a little bit about that, but we also got some interesting coronavirus news as well.
Lovesick. Get it?
Oh, I love that.
Lovesick, this is your episode.
Okay, Tom. I see you.
I like that.
But first, let's get into some housekeeping and headlines. I'm getting it, guys. I'm getting it.
I love it. Good for you, Foom. Good for you.
Thank you. I believe, Mark, you've got some housekeeping you want to chat about.
Yeah, so I'm fairly certain we talked about this movie a few months ago. I feel like I'm pretty sure we did.
We did.
But there was, yeah, right? There was a movie that was about to come out in September called The Hunt that Blumhouse made with a pretty... You know, interesting cast. Hilary Swank, Betty Gilpin, oh my gosh,
Justin
Emma
Hartley.
Roberts. Justin Hartley's in it. Yep, uh-huh, you're This Is Us hunk.
Shout out to Justin Hartley real quick. He directed the most beautiful episode of This Is Us, so we just got to shout him out.
Absolutely.
That episode was stunning.
About it. Yeah.
Did it make you both cry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I really want to watch it. Will I be confused?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God. Well, we'll see. I'll give it a go. But yeah, Justin Hartley's in it. A lot of good people. So this movie was actually pulled, if you remember. It was supposed to come out in September. It was pulled from the release schedule in August, right around the time there were some terrible mass shootings. So Blumhouse, took it off their slate. And I remember Trump was getting involved. And a lot of people were bashing the movie before it even came out. Mm-hmm. Because the story goes, it's sort of a loose interpretation of one of my most favorite short stories, The Most Dangerous Game. This was where basically the premise, which they're still keeping it very hazy, it's some elite liberals are doing this kind of sick game of hunting and killing this group of strangers. And it was pulled, but breaking news, everyone. Well, not so breaking anymore. You all have heard it by now, but I thought it was pretty cool. It's coming out. It's coming out March 13th, Friday the 13th in March.
Is it a theatrical release or a streaming service?
I have to say, Foom, Tom, I'm surprised. It's theatrical.
It's going to bomb. They're not giving it enough time to promote itself.
I don't know anymore. I don't know if you need a lot of time anymore. Thanks to Beyonce and many other things, I feel like they gave a month's notice. Mm-hmm. It's on people's radar. They made a new trailer. The posters even have the old release date crossed out, and now it says March 13th. So they're playing up that it was like the movie you've heard about but haven't seen, and now it's out. I just am surprised. Just put it on streaming.
Yeah, I wonder why that decision was made.
Yeah, it must have been in some sort of contract that like it was always going to be a theatrical movie. But anyway, even though it might be touchy and it might be. Maybe it's a dark comedy, but it might be disturbing. I am happy it's going to see the light of day. So cool. Interesting. I was surprised.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I've got some housekeeping, kind of just to follow up. We touched on, when we were talking about the Me Too movement, Jason Mitchell, who was an actor in The Chi and also on a series on Netflix, who ended up getting fired from, like, his show and his agent and his manager because of some stuff that went down on sets that he was working on. And one of the big shows he was on, as I just mentioned, The Chi, it was a big secret. Like, people knew he got fired, but no one really knew why. And the woman that he was co-starring with, who was his love interest on the show, quit before he left. And so it was a big mystery of, like, what went down on set and what happened. Well, the actress who left, Tiffany Boone, decided to make a recent statement as to why she left the show, but didn't really spill any tea. And I feel like I'm happy she made a statement, but if you're going to spill the tea, right?
Yeah.
We want to know what went down.
But it's really nobody's business but hers, you know what I mean?
Well, maybe that's true. Well, that's not true. It's the show's business, because you have to make sure you get rid of, like, a toxic person within a work environment, right? So she said she'll tell everybody when she's ready, but she's not ready yet. So, Tiffany, if you're listening, we're here for you, girl, but also let us know what happened.
Fumi be mad nosy.
Hell yeah, I want to know.
Fumi is thirsty for that tea, Tiffany.
I'm thirsty for that tea, Tiffany, so let us know what's up, girl.
That's interesting. I'm sure you are like many other people, and she's probably going to talk more about it. I would think probably sooner than later, you know?
I think so. I mean, it must be that she's getting some notification or something where maybe Jason is starting to be able to have, like, a career comeback. I'm still not certain as to why she decided to kind of mention something now. So maybe, you know, he's starting to resurface again, and maybe he's getting an agent and a manager, and he's going to start rebuilding his career, and she thought it was important to say something. But we'll see what happens.
Interesting.
Right? All right, well, that's it for housekeeping. Now on the headlines. Tom, go first. What's your headline?
Yeah, I thought this was super interesting. So I read about this survey that was done in the UK. I read about this over the weekend. It was like an official, full-blown survey called, they even named the survey. So when you name a survey, you know it's the real deal. It's called the Looking Glass. And it surveyed 9,000 people in the film and TV industry in the UK. Mostly people who work off camera. So it's not in front of camera talent. And 90% of the 9,000 people surveyed said that they have suffered some sort of mental health issue as a result of working in the entertainment industry. And 55% of those recipients said they've even had suicidal thoughts.
That is crazy
to me. What is going on in the UK? And do we think that if a survey was done in the US, that the results would be somewhat similar?
It's so funny how many times you said survey.
Well, that's what it is, girl.
Survey says.
I actually don't find that surprising or shocking in any way, shape, or form, and I think it probably would be also very high in the United States. I think that people don't really understand how toxic working in the entertainment industry is. It is like a very, it's like a hard, it's not an easy job.
It's grueling.
It's glorified, I think, in our culture.
That's because people don't get, like, they don't get it. They don't work in it. It's grueling. It's not easy. People think it's glamorous. Mark and I know. It is, like,
oh my God,
so not glamorous in any way, shape, or form. If you saw what some of these offices look like, you'd be disgusted. Like, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard. It's not easy.
If you saw where we eat, like, lunch for 5 minutes every now and then in some back alley, it's like, oh, God.
It's not an easy thing.
But I'm surprised that it's so bad that people have suicidal thoughts. Wow.
Yeah, 55% of respondents.
Wow. I'm not that surprised.
Wow, that is terrible. I actually am surprised. I'm not surprised that, you know, people have a tough time and mental health, but, like, suicidal thoughts is, whoa, that's crazy. Wow.
Well, because think of how hard it is to, well, I guess I don't really, well, I would assume it's the same thing in the UK, but think about people who are, like, jumping from job to job and freelancing and trying to figure out like what the next gig is. And if you don't have like a good network, or you're not one of those people who just gets like contacted for jobs, we're very, so few people are lucky to have that option and to happen. You know, it's the constant, like, where am I going to get my next paycheck, or where's, you know, how am I going to pay my rent or my mortgage?
So much
uncertainty.
How am I going
to take care of my family? It's a lot of uncertainty. So and that obviously when it comes to like your finances, that just leads to a whole other set of stress issues.
Right.
Which does lead to those thoughts.
Plus there's a ton of nepotism. So it's like, how do I advance when I deserve it and other people don't deserve it? And they're like, you know, executive producers or whatever. Yeah.
Totally.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. I'd be so curious to hear if there's a survey in the U.S. Wow. Yikes.
Mark, what's your headline?
Sorry, Tom, but I have something on a lighter note. So my news, I have two quick little mini items, and they are about reboot/sequels, because guess what, everyone? We can't escape them. So my first one, Urban Legend. It's coming back, y'all. It's official. There is an Urban Legend.
That.
Oh, wow. Okay,
where,
Tom,
did you hear that?
Everywhere, literally.
Oh, wow.
All over the place. Literally,
no,
Google
it. Entertainment Weekly didn't cover it, which I found odd.
Well, you know, I love Entertainment Weekly, but they are no longer as, you know, quick to get the stories. Yeah. I think Bloody Disgusting, I think AV Club, I think Vulture. I think I first read it on Vulture. But so Urban Legend, the movie, I guess it's a reboot. It's not really a sequel. We're not sure yet, but it's officially a go. It already has a director attached. Colin something. Sorry, Colin. But he directed What Keeps You Alive, a really interesting gay horror movie that came out last year, which I do recommend. But I thought what was so cool, and cool for this group especially, the three of us, because we've talked about creepypastas and, you know, that kind of thing. They're making it very modern, very social media heavy. The film will explore, it's going to be set in college, just like the original one was, which I like. I like that more than high school. I feel like that's a cool vibe. But it's so friends, of course, being murdered in the ways of urban legends that are popular among social media, you know, accounts and on like creepypasta pages and forums. So it's kind of like the dark web of death. So that sounds kind of fun. And then my other little fun fact is I sent this guy this info to you guys because I thought it was fascinating. Rick Moranis, who we know from Ghostbusters and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids years ago, he has not been on camera since 1997, I believe. Uh-huh. He does a few voiceover things, but he, you know, has been gone for a while. He's coming back for the movie Shrunk, which is the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids sequel. Not a reboot, not a remake. Straight up sequel. Josh Gad is playing his son. And I guess the premise for this new film will be Rick Moranis and Josh Gad accidentally shrunk the kids again. It's Rick Moranis' grandkids. I think it's cute. I love that movie. I've been wanting to rewatch it. So yeah, I wonder if maybe it's been doing well on Disney Plus. People are getting the nostalgia on, but they're doing another movie. And Rick
Moranis.
I wonder
if they'll ignore Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, or if they'll work that into the story somehow.
I hope they work it in, because I'd like that one too. I do know the mom, Marsha. Sorry, Marsha. But I know the mom in those two movies did pass away. So I wonder if they'll kind of honor her and like mention that mom passed away, or if
they should
cast. Right? I feel like just, mention her, show her in a photo, you know, on set or something. But I think this is super cool, because I think those movies are great. I think it's also, for Disney, of course, a great way to build a new ride or build a new whatever at, you know, the amusement park. So either way, so yeah, some exciting you know, reboot news. I thought they were cool.
And I have that the queen, the majestic, the amazing Adele is going to be releasing new music in September, and
long wait.
Yeah,
I can't wait. 31 is coming. She didn't said that 31 tried her, and her new album is gonna have some bass.
Wow,
and she is coming for our chins. So
is it gonna be called 31?
I don't know. Probably, maybe.
What,
I don't know.
What was her last one called? It was
25.
25. It was that long ago.
Yeah, it's already been 5 years.
Hello.
Wow. Wow.
5 years. That's her thing. She does it like every 5 years.
Yep.
But
okay.
Oh, Adele.
Wow.
We stan. I cannot wait.
It's
cannot
gonna be
wait.
Huge.
And do you guys have you seen how fantastic she looks? She's lost
right.
pounds.
We yeah. talked about that last time. Yeah, she yeah. has slimmed down. So I'm super curious what the music will sound like, what the whole vibe will be.
It's gonna be so good. Those vocals are gonna come in extra hot. I can't wait.
Fumi yes, is already crying. She's just gonna cry every day until September and even beyond.
Well, that's it for our housekeeping and headlines.
Love it. Wow. Well, yeah. It's now we're moving right along to the list. Are we ready?
The list.
Boom.
All right, people, this is that part of the episode you all can't wait to listen to, hopefully. This is the moment where we tell you what to watch, what to not watch. Love it, hate it, add it, skip it. Let's go with Tom. What is on your list to tell us this week?
Okay, I've got two things. Dos things, however you say things in Spanish. Dos of them. First thing is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel Season 3. Now, oddly enough, all of us are fans of the show, so no secret, it's an add this to your list. But not only am I going to tell you to add Season 3, we have never talked about this show, any of us, as a list segment item.
That is crazy, I know.
I still don't believe that.
To your list.
Yep.
No,
it's true.
Search the drive, girl. Search the drive.
We have mentioned the show and the actors like in awards talk and like that kind of stuff, but we've never actually had it as an item. I know, it's crazy. And we all love it. And Tom just joined the party.
I just joined the party. So Marvelous Mrs. Maisel as a series, add it, Season 3, add it. That's the newest season that just started on Amazon Prime. In December. So really quickly, for those, since we've never talked about it, it is essentially about a woman in the late 50s and early 60s who decides that she wants to try and give it a go to be a stand-up comedian. That's the premise at its very most basic level. She finds a manager at some like seedy club way downtown New York, played by Alex Borstein, who voices Phyllis? Is that her name? Phyllis on King of the Hill? Not King of the Hill. Family Guy. It is Phyllis.
Know.
Yes, the wife.
Okay.
The wife on Family Guy. Do you know that
she
Alex
got money?
Oh, she's got so much money.
$24 million.
She got money.
Wow. She's got money. So anyway, side note. And Mrs. Maisel stars Rachel Brosnahan in the titular role. She is fantastic. You do not understand, unless you watch the show, how good of an actress she is, because she is somebody who is incredibly spunky, who's incredibly quick-witted, and not only does Rachel Brosnahan have to memorize the heavy amounts of dialogue that Amy Sherman-Palladino writes for her, but she has to deliver it at, like, lightning speed.
Oh, yeah.
The skill that's required to do that is outrageous.
It's very on brand for the way that Amy writes. Did she write with her husband? Are they co-writers together? I can't remember.
Yes.
But yeah, it's very on brand for their types of shows. Gilmore Girls was the exact same way.
Was it really?
They talk at lightning speed.
Wow. Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
I knew that, but I didn't realize. Like, I just can't imagine this lightning speed on Gilmore Girls, but that's impressive. I love that. And it really demands the actors to be super focused and in it, and just, I mean, it must be so much fun making this show.
So much
fun.
They're all because the production value is through the roof. The costumes, the color, the camera movements.
The sets.
I mean, every episode is like a mini movie. I can't imagine what goes into producing just one episode of this series. And there are between 8 and 10 episodes per season. So kudos to the Amazon team. This show is amazing.
Yeah.
It's their
it's
best show.
Edgy. It makes you realize in a fresh way how difficult it was to be a woman back then. Kudos to season 3 finally adding some diversity in there. You know, the show takes place on the Upper West Side for the most part. So, of course, you're going to have a lot of Jewish white people, especially back during that time. But season 3, we get some color in there. Sterling K. Brown has an interesting arc, a 4-episode arc, and he plays a role that's very different from Randall on This Is Us.
Is Sterling only in it for like half the season? I haven't finished season 3 yet.
He's not in every episode. That's all I'll say. He's not in every episode.
Wait, I haven't actually started season 3 yet. What year is season 3?
What year?
60. 1960, because they start saying that it's the 60s.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And a lot of it takes place in Vegas, as we knew.
That's something that the show does very well. They change up the settings, but not for an entire season, just to you know, make things fresh. Much of season two takes place at a summer camp.
I love that.
Back when, like, that was still a thing for families to do. A huge chunk of season three takes place in Las Vegas. So kudos to Maisel. You guys are doing great things. Keep it up. Add it to your list if you're not watching it. I will say the first three or four episodes, I kind of felt... So I went into the show knowing very little, and I thought that it was like a half-hour comedy. And it's not. The episodes are near an hour long. It's very much a dramedy. There are some heavy themes that are explored in this series. And I will say, at first, I felt like the episodes felt like 10 to 15 minutes too long. But then about four episodes in, I got into it. In the beginning. Season one.
Interesting. But now I was hooked.
I'm a fan.
I loved it from the get-go. I was like, wow. Same. I was mesmerized. Yeah.
It caught me off guard. I was very surprised. I was pleasantly surprised by how much we loved it.
Now, Tom, since you've watched every episode now, Tom, right? You're done season three? So you jumped in at like the start of this year and you're already finished. Since it's freshest in your mind.
I'm ready for season four.
Which of the three seasons is your favorite?
Two.
Okay. Yeah, two I really loved. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And shout out to Jane Lynch because she is awesome on the show. Yeah.
She is playing a very interesting role. And Zachary Levi does a pop-up. Mm-hmm. You know, he plays an interesting character. There's a lot of great people that you're going to recognize sprinkled throughout the whole series. So it's wonderful.
What do you think about her relationship with her husband?
I am so team Joel.
Me too.
And I want her back with Joel. Yeah.
You are. Both of you.
I love so Joel, hot. But like...
Michael Zegan, you are hot if you listen.
He's... He's in a play right now. I am also very team Joel, but I don't know. It's like all the good romances on TV. You don't really want them to get together. You like that weirdness where they're like together, but not, you know? So,
well, it's a new way of doing a will they, won't they? Cause I feel like you truly don't know if they're going to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I am not team Joel.
Now, who out of the guys so far, like, do you like best with her? Because I also do love the comedian guy.
Well, that's what it is. But the thing is, the comedian guy is based on an actual real person.
Don't spoil it, Foom.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, but I love their chemistry together. But Joel, I do like Joel as a person and like his acting, like the acting.
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah.
And I think that he has learned from his mistakes in their marriage, but I just don't, I just feel like it's walking back for her to have this constant thing with him. So that's a bit of a frustrating thing for me for the show, but I get it.
Oh, love it. I want to watch it after this.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Second thing on my list is Freeform's first ever gay movie.
Whee!
So the movie is called The Thing About Harry. It just premiered this past weekend for Valentine's Day right on Freeform. I'm gonna say right out the bat, add this to your list. I enjoyed it was good. So the film in short is about this kid. He's a college student, and
Sam,
he's driving home for some friend's engagement party or whatever, and he's asked by his friend to go pick up another friend who he went to high school with. They did not get along in their high school days. He's kind of dreading doing this 9-hour drive back to Missouri from Chicago with this kid who picked on him when he was younger. Lo and behold, he picks up this friend, Sam, and they're driving to Missouri, and Sam kind of reveals that he's pansexual. Harry reveals that he is pansexual.
Explain what that is to everybody.
Pansexual is when you like all. So it's different from bisexual, because bisexual is you like either men or women. Pansexual, they like men, women, transgender, non-binary. They just don't discriminate. They're
totally open. Yeah.
Yep. The whole spectrum. So Sam tells Harry, I cannot get their names right. Harry tells Sam that he is pansexual. That throws Sam for a loop.
Literally, the car like goes off the road.
Literally goes into a loop, right? The car goes into a tailspin. And they just build a friendship from there that carries over the course of several years. And mm-hmm. one of them starts falling in love with the other. I won't tell you who, and I won't tell you how it ends up. Mm-hmm. But it is absolutely adorable. It is. I didn't believe you two when you told me that.
Freeform, we told you, Freeform, bringing it, honey.
I know.
It was. It was hotter than Love, Simon as far as like sex scenes.
Oh, it was beyond Love, Simon. Oh my god, yes.
Beyond.
I mean, the way they're like turning around, it's like, okay. I know what positions you all are doing right now. Okay, wow. Yes.
Yep.
I loved it.
I mean, it's directed by Peter Page, who played Emmett on Queer as Folk. So that dude is no stranger to sex scenes, so I'm sure he kind of, you know, drew on his days from being on Queer as Folk, and that kind of influenced how he directed some scenes in this movie. But guys, I thought it was great. It wasn't too hokey. About 20 minutes before the end, you kind of get a false ending, and you go, oh, wait, that's it? But then there's still a little twist that keeps you guessing for the next 20 minutes. I had a good time with it. Mark, I know you watched it. What'd you think?
Yes, I was very excited. I'm so happy Freeform is like really getting gay. They're starting the year off gay, honey. between the other show I love that I think you all should watch if you haven't already, Everything's Gonna Be Okay. I mean, the boys are kissing, they are grinding, they are touching all over Freeform. I thought this was great. It's a Freeform movie, so of course it's a little cheesy. But overall, I thought the acting was pretty great. The actor that played Sam, and the actress, I think her name is Britt Baron. She was wonderful. She's wonderful. She's on Glow, and I like Glow, but I don't like her on Glow. So I was pleasantly surprised at how great she was. But the actors are great. The chemistry is there. Every little touch, every little like moment, it really works. The only thing that didn't work for me, like you were saying, Tom, I won't spoil a thing, but there are some twists, there are some kind of interesting turns this film takes, and I'm kind of like, wait, really? What? And so I guess it was good. I didn't really know where it was going. But what I do love is it's a true opposites attract. It's very much your typical rom-com, yep, just with two guys, which I appreciate. Fumi, I would love for you to tell us once you see it, because you're the rom-com queen, I feel like, in this group. I feel like it'll hit all the right notes for you, and I'm curious to hear what you think.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay. Yeah.
That's cute.
That's my list.
Nice. Okay, Foom. What you got?
So the first thing on my list is a series on Netflix called Love is Blind. Have you guys heard about this?
I have. Is this hosted by Nick and Vanessa Lachey?
It is hosted by Nick and Vanessa Lachey.
Interesting.
And it is an added to your list. I went in very skeptical about, you know, this whole reality TV-esque thing, but Netflix is bringing it. So the concept is very self-explanatory, right? Love is blind. You've got men and women who date each other in these things called pods, which are basically like these rooms that are set up where you can talk to another person, but you cannot see them. And you have to make an emotional connection and then decide to propose. And you propose, you then meet this person. It sounds crazy, but it is honestly this like really interesting like experiment that you're watching with these people. And some people genuinely form like real, honest, beautiful connections.
Really?
And other people, you can tell that they're just like whatever, like, you know, maybe the person they really wanted, they couldn't get, so they're picking like somebody else. Yeah, but it is such a fascinating show. So Netflix is, as you guys know, they release on a binge format, but this particular show, they're releasing it in batches. So it's like a 3-week event.
Interesting.
Where the first 5 episodes are out now, then I don't know how many episodes are getting released next week, and then the last set of episodes are going to get released the 3rd week. And by the 3rd week, people will be getting married. So they have 30 days to like get married. So it's like you meet them in the pod, then they all go to like this resort where they have the physical connection, you've got the emotional, you've decided, now you've got the physical connection. And then after this resort, then it's like, okay, we're all sending you back home to like integrate into each other's lives. So how are you going to introduce one another to like friends, family, is race, you know, religion, sexual preference, is all of that going to like become into a factor? And how is that going to change your opinions or the way that you feel about one another? So it's going to be such a, it's like such
How long are the episodes?
It's an hour. And I will admit, that you don't need to watch every single episode. Like, I definitely watched the first episode. I watched, I fast-forwarded to the second, watched a little bit of the third, fast-forwarded to the fourth, and I got, I thought it personally got super interesting halfway through the fifth, because that's when it started to, like, okay, guys, like, you've had your moment and, like, your one-on-one time. Like, we're now gonna up the ante and, like, get ready to go into your actual lives.
Wow, this is so, this actually sounds really interesting. Now, in those first five episodes, are we seeing different couples in each episode, or it's the same people?
Nope, it's all different couples. So we get introduced to, like, I'm going to say you get introduced to, like, 20 people, maybe even 30 people, but then it slowly starts to be, like, there's a focus on five couples.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's a focus on five couples who, like, decide to, like, keep it, you know, get married and, like, connect with a person and take it to the next level. And just the interactions of, like, women talk and men talk. Like, there's one, this one funny moment where, like, the women are talking and they're talking about, like, whether or not they all decide, like, they had sex the night before. And the one woman says no. And immediately it's, like, the men table. And the guy's like, I'm not going to say we had sex, but I'm just going to say that it was hard for me to walk this morning.
Oh my god. What? Oh god.
But his partner had literally just said that they didn't have sex. So it was, like, a really, like,
that is
hilarious
funny.
Like, way of, like, the way women and men talk.
Yes.
I will say that, like, I will say that there is racial diversity on the show, but it probably might be an issue for, like, LGBTQ. There is one person who identifies as bisexual, and that's something that, you know, that person goes through in terms of whether or not to tell the, you know, the person that they choose and how that person's going to react and whether or not the choices they make will make it so that they're alone for the rest of their life. So those conversations do happen, but I'm sure that in season two, if this does go to a season two, they're probably going to want to find some way to, like, incorporate that into the dating. I don't necessarily know how that would work per se, because you'd have to be under the assumption that the person that they're connecting with would be LGBTQ as well. But, you know, they have to figure it out some way, somehow.
Wow. And now, do you think, is the way it's going, do you think some couples will not get married?
Absolutely. Like you can see a mile away. Like, there's one couple that they have such a strong connection. Like, it's almost like watching it, you're like, oh my god, you totally met your soulmate. This is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
And then there are other people you're like, oh, you guys are going to fuck. And then you're going to be like, ugh, like, get away from me. Like, you totally know what's going to happen. But then again, who knows if what I think is going to happen is going to happen, or how they kind of work through it themselves. So,
wow, that is, I'm really intrigued by the whole episode release each week. That is a really interesting way to do it. Okay, cool. Yeah. Love is blind.
Yep. All Love is blind. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Add it. Add it. Add it.
Wow.
And then the next thing on my list is part two.
Oh boy.
I made a very big announcement this time last year when I said to all the boys I loved before, part two is out. To all the boys too, P.S. I still love you.
And do you long still title. Love it?
Obviously, it's an ad.
Okay, good. Nice.
It's not as good as To All the Boys I Loved Before, obviously, because they just never really are. But it's still a very cute, sweet show. So Lara Jean, Peter Kavinsky, they are back. They are in a relationship. And they are working through insecurities and happiness and love and dating and sex. It's all great.
I forget. What grade are they, like? They're out of high school now.
No. They're seniors.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, they're still in high school. But the twist of part two is Lara Jean, one of her letters went to John Ambrose, and John answered her letter, and now he's popped up. And so Lara Jean is very confused about whether she should be happy in her relationship with Peter or if she has something with John. So that is the dilemma.
Oh my god.
I have to, like, look these people up.
There is a third one. There's a third book. It's coming. What are you talking about?
Oh god.
That is the dilemma of part two. Now, I will say this. the actors who play Peter Kavinsky and Lara Jean are really, like, they have a really strong chemistry within the movie. And part two, I feel like they are forcing this John Ambrose character in. I mean, they're doing it because that's the way that the book was written. But it just feels forced. Like, you're watching it and you're just kind of like, this feels forced. Like, you can tell there's not really a connection with her in this character.
And he's a new character, right?
So that's the part that I'm just like, eh. Like, I totally get that this is the way, like, the source material, but it doesn't feel right. But I will say that it's still a cute movie. I watched All the Boys I Loved Before like 8 times. I probably won't watch this one more than once.
Eight times. Wow, that's amazing.
I've seen it like 8 times over the course of the year.
In this book.
But please, wait, what happened?
Please, there are people who have watched this so many times. Are you kidding me? This is like a very rewatched movie.
But wait, Foom, what happened to the other guy, Josh?
Okay, so this is the thing about the actor who played Josh, okay? So the actor who played Josh, when that movie came out, it was uncovered that he had made very racist tweets about Trump and about... you know, politics and some stuff. Like, if you go and look him up, that actor, it ain't good. So they basically wrote that bitch out for movie two. Like, he don't exist.
And because in the book, in the second book, he was involved.
Know, actually. I haven't read the book, so I'm not sure. Wow. But he doesn't exist in the second one. Yeah, it was like a very... like awkward thing.
Oh boy. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. But on, you know, off of him, but this movie two, it's so good. Add it to your list. Watch it. You're not going to love it as much as you love the first one, but it's still good.
Interesting. So if I didn't love the first one, I'll really not love this one.
I don't understand how you didn't love the first one. So... that's something you're going to have to figure out within yourself.
If you can put your head on a pillow at night, Mark, then all the power to you.
I have lots of soul searching to do. Wow. Cool. Love it. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad Fumi got her Netflix rom-com quota. Awesome. Well, I will wrap up our list. I also have two items on my list this week. And the first one is... Awkwafina is Nora from Queens.
Yes.
That is the full title. That is the full title. It is actually Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. I don't really love it. I think you can just call it Nora from Queens. I would get it, but you know, okay. But yeah, like on IMDb, on the TV, it's all Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. It is the new Comedy Central half hour comedy starring the one and only Awkwafina, who is definitely having a major moment.
Totally.
I mean, she's been having a major moment for a while. So this is pretty huge for Comedy Central to have someone who's fresh off a Golden Globe win. Mm-hmm. They've already picked this show up for season 2 before it premiered. Oh yeah. So it's smart. They're trying to lock her in because we know her voice is going to be in The Little Mermaid and she's going to be in other big things. And it's like, they want a star on their roster because she might be, I mean, Amy Schumer was a big star for them for a while, but I mean, you know, Awkwafina's got awards, right? So I'm going to say I like it.
Oh, no.
I've watched the first episode. There are, I think, as of this recording, about 4 episodes. So I'm a little behind. I'm going to continue. But as of the first episode, I would call it like a one and done.
Oh, okay. No. So this is not a Broad City.
And it's so funny you bring that up, Foom. Because they are trying extremely hard to make this Broad City 2.0. It's the same producers, even the same font. There's a lot of Nora from Queens, like titling throughout it. And I know Broad City would do that a lot.
Yeah.
This is almost like too much. Broad City per episode would maybe you'd see the title in different cool graphics like 3 times. This is like 6 times. Nora from Queens.
Oh, wow.
Here's the thing, though. It's not bad. It's not a bad show. I laughed. You know, she is funny. It's a good cast. B.D. Wong is in it. The hilarious... He's great. He's always great. The hilarious Lori Tan Chin, who you might not know her name or face, but if you look around and Google, you'll remember her from things in the past. She plays her wacky grandmother, Bowen Yang, who is currently on SNL now. He is a gay Asian. He's in it and really funny. So, I mean, it's got a good group. It's just, it's trying a little too hard. And the minute the first episode was done, I was like, oh, that's good. And I was like, I can go, like, do something else now. Like, I wasn't like, oh, my God, wow, what?
But wait, so what is the premise exactly? Is this sort of, like, following her real life?
It's based on her life, yeah, right?
It's very loosely based on her life. But, yeah, so her real name, so Awkwafina's real name is Nora Lum. Mm-hmm. This character is Nora Lin. So it's very similar. Nora is around 27 years old. She's late 20s, still sort of a mess, living at home with her dad and grandmother. Her mom passed away.
Right.
She's always, like, smoking the ganja. She's got her pipe or her... what do they call it? Like e-cig. And like, she's like, right in the beginning, it's funny and it's in the trailer. She's like talking to this younger guy outside of the house. And she's like, oh man, you're on trash duty too. It sucks, huh? And he's like, aren't you like 30? Like, this is what you do when you're an adult. So she's very stunted. She kind of drives around for Uber, but like, she can't even keep that together. She's very funny, but like, is very directionless. And so each episode is kind of her trying to, like, get more of a direction. The main premise in episode one, we find out that she decides it's maybe time to finally leave her family house and to go, like, move in with a roommate and, like, try to be an adult. Funny, wacky things happen and, you know, baby steps. She'll get there one day, but it's not quite time yet, so you'll see what happens. It's got good promise. Like I said, it's already picked up for season two, so we're going to be seeing more of it. I am going to continue it. But I'm not shaking with laughter like I was hoping I would be. And yeah, it just feels a little forced. Awkwafina is very much part of the behind the scenes. She co-created it. She co-wrote it.
Okay.
Lucia something, Anello. She directed a lot of Broad City episodes and she directs this. It just feels like this is Comedy Central really trying to fill a void and not really kind of letting their organic voice come out just yet. So... yeah, for now I'd say one and done, but check it out. You guys let me know what you think, you know.
I'll definitely watch it.
There's something there, because she's great, and also it's just fun to see this quirky Asian family in Queens, and like, you know, it's very New York heavy, much like Maisel, like Tom said. So that is my first item. My second item is this really interesting documentary that I had heard about last year. It actually was at Sundance 2019, over a year ago, and it came to Hulu last year, late last year, maybe like... late summer, early fall. And that documentary is called Jawline. Have you guys heard at all about Jawline?
No.
Oh, check it out. It's really, really interesting. So this is a documentary that mostly follows this young guy named Austin Tester. He was about 16 years old during filming. So by now he's probably like 18 or so. He's in high school. But the whole film really investigates what it's like to sort of be a kind of teen idol nowadays on social media. And specifically within social media, specifically this whole live broadcasting thing on, I forget the app. It's like, instead of YouTube, it's like YouNow. So it's all about like, oh, I have to broadcast tonight. Like, I have to talk to my fans. I have to get my followers up. And honestly, guys, it is so fucking stressful. Like, I'm watching these kids. They're kids. And he's not a great student. He lives in Tennessee. He is not wealthy in any way. He lives with his mom and brother, and they are barely scraping by. So you see, it's kind of like the new American dream. Like, he really wants to be a star. He is kind of vain. He's cute, but like, he's not that cute. A little bit of a hick, yeah.
Okay.
He's not that smart, but he really wants to be famous because he wants to spread positivity. So he's got like his heart of gold, but he's also kind of lazy. And so he wants to get famous fast, and he's comparing himself to these other teen idols that, like, I don't know who the hell these people are. Meanwhile, we are also seeing, so we're learning his story and trying to see him, you know, rise in any way. And then meanwhile, we see this go-getter manager who, like, has the heads of Instagram on a speed dial, and he runs a house as if it was, like, its own reality show. He runs a house of these social media model guys, and he's like, literally, as soon as we meet him, I felt like I was watching an SNL character. He's like, Joey, you need to make that video right now. You need to post it right now, you know? And he's demanding that his talent does these things because he keeps them in check because that's the money. And, like, it's so fascinating hearing him. He's older. He's, like, early 20s, super flamboyant gay guy, knows his shit. It's sad but also so interesting to see him know all these stats. And he is looking at Austin, the boy from Tennessee's mm-hmm. page, and he says things like, oh, he's got 23,000 followers? Oh, I'm not touching him. That is way too low for me. And it's just devastating. Oh, my God, it's devastating, guys.
Is this on Hulu?
This is on Hulu. Watch it, Foom. You'll love it. You guys will love it. And it's interesting because what I found the most fascinating is their biggest fans are these straight girls who, you know, they say, like, oh, my God, they're so hot. But there's not a lot of sexuality there. Like, these guys are good looking. They all look the exact same. They have, like, the floppy, like, you know, cool swoop hair. But, like, it's not so much about sexuality on here. It's like having a male friend that doesn't pick on you. A lot of the girls, when they do these meet and greets and find Austin at the mall and just walk around with him, they are super nervous, they're super awkward, and they tell the camera, like, yeah, I cut myself, like, I don't really have friends at school, like, Austin's my friend. God. Yeah, it's dark. And so there's this whole social world where they like to see these cute boys their age, like, try to lift them up and, like, give positivity. But they're not real friends, you know? It's awkward.
It's reminding me a lot of eighth grade.
Yes, yes. It's like eighth grade's documentary companion. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so these girls are just like Elsie Fisher is in eighth grade, and they're super awkward. The way they hug him, and then they're like, do you remember my name? Can I take a picture with you? And, like, this is their idol. But, like, they don't know each other. But because they tune into his nightly broadcast, it's you know, he is their version of a celebrity. So check it out. It's really fascinating. It'll kind of break your heart, but there's a lot of hope to it, and it's interesting. I don't know what he's doing now, but I just looked him up before we recorded. He's got 24,000 Instagram followers. I think that's pretty great for an 18-year-old. So, you know, yeah. But Jawline, check it out, because it is really good. Really, really good. And that is our list, ladies and gents. So just to recap, let's add it all up. We had The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel season 3/ the whole show. Obviously, add it if you haven't watched it. I mean, what are you waiting for? And then also Freeform's first gay, well, not only Freeform, just the first gay rom-com made for TV movie that Freeform happened to do, The Thing About Harry. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty sexy. It's cute. Groundbreaking, and support it. And it's just fun. Make it a drinking game if you're not into it. It'll be fun. And then we had Fumi gave us Love is Blind on Netflix, which sounds really good. And also on Netflix, the long-awaited sequel that has all the girls screaming to All the Boys 2, P.S. I Still Love You. There you go. And then I had Awkwafina is Nora from Queens on Comedy Central. Slightly one and done, but add it. There's something there. And then Jawline on Hulu, add that to your list. Mm. And there we have it.
Okay. There we have it.
Oh, Tom.
Excuse me. I hope I don't have coronavirus.
Oh my God, are you doing that on purpose?
I am.
Very believable. Wow.
Wow.
And the Oscar goes too.
Wow.
So, if you, hopefully you've heard by now that there is a illness that is taking the world by storm.
There's this thing going around.
Coronavirus.
Truly.
It has infected hundreds of thousands of people, but kills only 2%. Americans are like freaking out about it. And it's like, honey, the flu is way deadlier. Okay. But
people are
dying from coronavirus. So we don't want to downplay that. But, you know, it's just crazy. It's reminding us of, like, SARS 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Or swine flu.
I don't really remember SARS, you guys.
Yeah, I don't either. But people talk about it as if like it was like this big thing. So, you know, whatever. Well, I remember the swine flu more.
Was SARS like I remember I get SARS and anthrax confused.
Oh, anthrax is the mail.
Anthrax was the mail, the powder, but SARS was that airborne? Was that like
it is an airborne respiratory illness, much like the coronavirus. So what's scary about the coronavirus though? Is that the symptoms mimic pretty much the common cold. I mean, the symptoms are sore throat, runny nose, very, very slight fever, and headache. That's your classic common cold God. So it's like, oh, how do I know if I have this? Well, you go get tested. Yeah. Anyway, there's cruise ships being quarantined. There's flights being canceled. The world kind of is in mass hysteria about this. So we thought it would be fun, listeners, if we just talked about a virus-related movie that kind of freaked us out in the way that a lot of the world is freaking out about this coronavirus.
Yes. You gotta embrace the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And let's face it, there's some really good movies out there about viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So, Fumi, let's start with you, girl. What virus movie left a really big impression on you?
Okay, so I'm going with I Am Legend.
I switched it up.
And it really left an impact with me for a couple reasons. One, this is the first movie that I remember Will Smith like really carrying on his own because he really was just in this movie by himself with his beautiful German dog.
Oh, yes, the dog. Oh my God, the dog.
And it was basically the premise was that he played a scientist or army person named Robert who the whole world has been, well, basically the whole world, but we just know about New York, has been infected with this virus that was created to cure cancer, but ended up mutating and killing humans. And so this Will Smith plays Robert. He's like the only actual like human still alive in New York. He lost his family, friends, everybody done been dead. Okay. And it was actually pretty jarring, the movie, because I feel like it was the first one, like kind of out the gate where you have him just be alone and really like commanding this the audience by himself and him trying to figure out like how to cure it and how to save the people who had mutated and become like this. What do they want to eat? Other people? They basically
they're
were zombies.
Like zombies,
yeah.
Right? They're like zombie cannibal people.
Yeah, but you know he tried his best and all he had was his companion, his adorable dog. And every time the dog would go bark at something, you'd be like, "Oh my God, he's not going to be able to stand it if the dog dies. Please, the dog can't die."
Yeah.
You know, you just got so emotional, and it was just such a scary kind of thought process. And it's like, okay, well, you know, obviously they are doing different testing all the time to try to cure all these kinds of cancers. And you really don't know, like, how people are going to react to these that are getting tested.
It's so true.
It's a little scary and freakish, you know?
Yeah. I didn't love the movie, but I have the book. And I remember the original book was actually not so much zombies. It was like vampires. It had a really cool cover. But I was freaked out that, this all started because it was supposed to be a cure.
Yeah.
And then it like backfired. Mm-hmm. That's pretty creepy.
Was
you know?
The book scarier than the movie? Because oftentimes, I feel like it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while. And I actually don't think I finished it. Not because it was bad, just because whatever. I read it when I was like young, like in high school. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was spooky. It was super creepy. And they got a lot of that down. I just didn't find the actual zombie people like scary. It was very CGI heavy, but that movie was pretty impressive in that they made New York City look like this
destitute.
Freaky
desolate.
Yes, exactly. And I remember when I moved to New York, I thought it was the coolest thing. Like the first week I lived there, I got a note in the door saying, "On this day, I Am Legend will be shooting on your street. So please do not go outside." And they actually had to make all the cars on the street dusty. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is awesome."
That's so
cool. Little fun fact, but that's a good one. Yeah, that was creepy.
Mark, what'd you pick?
So this was hard because we got so many good ones, and I wanted to try to stay away from like zombies and more like legit. So I am going with the first kind of big virus movie I saw when I was a kid. We all were kids at this time. In the mid-90s, the movie Outbreak came out. Do you remember Outbreak?
Yeah.
I remember the movie, but I don't remember, like, what happened.
The monkeys, right? Yes, the monkeys. So it's Dustin Hoffman. I think Kevin Spacey's in it, but don't worry, he dies. Rene Russo. But yeah, so it's a lot of, like, army scientist stuff, but it's this really good, well-done drama. This virus breaks out. I want to say it starts in, like, Africa, and it's monkeys, and it just makes its way to America. And at first, it's via bites, but then it starts morphing, and it's airborne. And I'll never forget, there's a great scene in the movie with Patrick Dempsey, actually. He is in a crowded movie theater on opening night of some movie. And you can see, once the virus has become airborne in the U.S., the camera is moving around the movie theater as if it's the virus. And you can sort of see, like, CGI, like, particles in the air, and people are coughing, and literally it's landing on everyone. And then I'll never forget. I was like, this is so stressful. And then he comes out of the movie theater and his eyes are bleeding. It was a very, it's a hard movie to watch, because when you have the virus and it's like taking its toll on you, it was a lot of like, you're bleeding out of your orifices.
Yes,
your
skin's, I remember that now.
Right? It's like pretty intense. And I feel like one of the leads gets it. I forget. It's like kind of sad in that way, but I just will never forget that packed movie theater, everyone getting it. They're coming out of it coughing, puking, and Patrick Dempsey's red eyes. And I was like, oh my God, this is so scary. So yeah, Outbreak. That was a good movie.
Was a good movie. That was a fun movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to, it's like weird to say fun, but it made it so exciting, because it was a very serious, like, you know, scientific drama, you know? It wasn't like I Am Legend where there's, like, a lot of action or anything. But, yeah, it was good. So that's my pick.
So my pick, it might be a little obvious, but I kind of figured this is kind of the be-all, end-all about how viruses start and how they spread. So I'm going to go with Contagion.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Steven Soderbergh, starring Gwyneth Paltrow and a shitload of other people that, honestly, I forget right now.
Oh, a ton of people. Mm-hmm. Kate Winslet.
Is Bradley Cooper in it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I know Matt Damon is Gwyneth's husband.
Matt Damon, that's who I was thinking of. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So a ton of people in it. It's Steven Soderbergh. It basically shows how a virus starts with a pig, I believe. A pig, yep.
It's a bat.
In China.
It's a pig and a bat, yeah.
A pig and a bat, yep. The chef in China. So a bat infects a pig, and the chef is cleaning the pig to cook it. To prepare it, you know, to be eaten, and he doesn't clean it thoroughly, and he gets the disease on his hands, and then it spreads from there and goes all over the world. Spoiler alert, kills Gwyneth Paltrow very suddenly and abruptly. Yeah. But it basically goes to show how, like, there really truly is a patient zero with every illness and virus that starts.
Of course.
And how quickly it spreads, and, like, how hard it is to get it under control once you have something literally in every continent of this world. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I know Soderbergh is hit or miss for a lot of people. It wasn't a spectacular film, but it was a good movie, and it kept you guessing, and it kind of freaked you out. And I remember leaving the theater, like, wanting to wash my hands so fucking badly.
That was when I first started thinking about...
so dirty, if you think about it.
Oh, of course.
And,
yeah. That was the first movie I started thinking about being a vegetarian because of the whole bat and pig reveal.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my God. And then I remember the movie really was making a big deal about, like, don't touch your face, don't touch your face. And I was, like, very conscious of, like, oh my God, how many times are we, like, you know, touching our nose or our eyes, right?
And it also kept you guessing, because you don't find out until the very last shot that it starts with a bat and a pig.
Yes.
I'll have to go back and watch this, because obviously the similarities to Corona is very true, and it's... If you notice, it's starting to pop up on all, like, your streaming services.
Exactly.
There's been a resurgence in the number of people watching it. Yep.
But I do remember this movie. I thought it was good. I thought it was, I didn't think it was, like, the greatest thing ever, but I thought it was good. But also, I don't love Steven Soderbergh. I don't love the way he does movies. So I'm going to go back and rewatch this to see think about it.
I would be curious, Foom, because I feel like this is one of his better ones. I remember it was thrilling.
Yeah, I would agree. It's insightful. It's just super insightful.
It feels like you're really there. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was super insightful, thrilling. I mean, I just remember, like, some of the people that die, it's, like, shocking. Like, some of these major stars as the movie progresses, like, everyone's being wiped out, and it's also realistic, you know?
Yeah, it starts in an airport, which is also, you know, as someone who's a frequent traveler like me, freaks me out, too. Starts in an airport. Gwyneth Paltrow, she's, like, on the phone with her husband, and she's just saying, I really don't feel so good. I think I have a cold. Much like coronavirus, right? And then within 48 hours, she's dead. So it's just, it's freaky because, like Mark said, it's just super realistic, and it is how outbreaks start and spread. That's what the movie tackles. So, yeah, that was my pick.
That's a good pick. Yeah, I want to rewatch that. And some honorable mentions. I know we had on our list for a second there, Quarantine, and I was thinking of Cabin Fever. That was like... Yep. Airborne, freaky, skin-eating, crazy shit. So there are some good movies out there if you want to get your...
Cabin Fever was water.
Oh, was it in the water?
It was the water that was contaminated
It's like some homeless guy has something. I remember he's like puking,
No, it was a company that was using like contaminated, I forget the company that they were doing. They were making denim or whatever, but it was contaminating the water. And then in a delivery, something spills and then it gets into this water system for the town.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah.
There was like a political message behind Cabin Fever.
Okay. I haven't seen that in a while. I got to rewatch that one. Yeah, totally. Anything water related is super scary and also like super realistic. I mean, that's how a lot of people get sick, even when you're thinking of like Aaron Brockovich and a lot of things.
Flint, Michigan. Yep.
Flint. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Be careful,
so
y'all.
If you're looking for movies about viruses, there's a lot of options out there. We just gave you three of them. Check them out and let us know what you think.
They're worth a rewatch.
And that's our episode for the week.
Be careful.
Be careful. Yeah. Be careful. Be careful.
Wash your hands, people.
Wash your hands. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's my number one thing.
And don't eat bats.
Don't eat bats. Don't eat bats and be careful with your pigs and, you know.
Are we done for real?
And happy Valentine's Day.
And happy Valentine's Day. Go watch Freeform's gay movie. Yeah. But seriously, that's our episode. Thank you to Greg, Jay, and Allie for your support of this podcast. Thank you, listeners. Go to addthistoyourlist.com to listen to previous episodes. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and chat with us. Yeah. Leave us a review on iTunes. Make it spread like a virus.
Oh, my God. You're too much. I really can't.
And we're going to take a little break, and we should be back in about 2 weeks or so.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Toodles.
Bye.
All right. Bye.